From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all. Let us pray. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of life, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Reading is from Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them, and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd, and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk, and the calf that he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray the Psalm 15 responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, who may abide upon your holy hill,
those who lead a blameless life and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discreet upon a neighbor. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown.
Glory to the Father.
A reading from Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshy body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I love the hospitality themes in today's readings. That story of Abraham welcoming the three strangers, taking care of their needs, providing for them as they come unannounced to his desert tent. And then the story of Martha providing hospitality for her invited guest, for Jesus. When Jesus comes to her home, Mary demonstrates hospitality by welcoming him into that house that she shares with her sister Mary. And then she gets busy about the tasks of tending to the guest, of serving the guest. Now, Luke doesn't tell us exactly what those tasks are, but a good guess would be that she has started to prepare a meal. And meanwhile, her sister Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his words. Rather than assuming the role that is expected of women in that culture, Mary takes her place at the feet of Jesus. She takes the posture of a student learning at the feet of the rabbi, a role that is traditionally reserved for men. And this nice little domestic scene takes a sharp turn when Mary, seated at Jesus' feet, is confronted by her sister. Martha comes in, distracted by her many tasks, and she says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left all the work to me? Tell her to help me." Now, some of us really cheer for Mary. We cheer for Mary because she has tossed all the traditional roles to the side. Rather than kitchen work, she has chosen to sit in the living room at the feet of Jesus, listening to the guest. Some others of us empathize with Martha. We also resent that sister that didn't help enough, who left us to do all of the work. And Jesus' response to Martha is less than empathetic. He chides her for her distraction and her worry. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The problem with Martha is not that she is busy serving and providing hospitality. Certainly, Jesus commends this kind of service to the neighbor many times. In fact, last Sunday, we heard the ultimate story of the service to the neighbor, when we heard the story of the Good Samaritan. And we know that Jesus said, go and do likewise. The problem with Martha is not in her serving, but rather that she is worried and distracted. She's not focused. The literal meaning of that word, distracted, that Jesus uses to describe Martha, distracted means being pulled or dragged in different directions. Distracted, pulled and dragged in different directions. Martha's distraction and worry didn't leave any room for the most important aspect of hospitality, paying attention to your guest. Have you ever been invited to someone's home and then left by yourself in the living room while the host is off doing something? Maybe even just preparing something for you. But you're left there wondering, wonder when they're coming back. I wonder what I'm supposed to be doing now. That's happened to me a number of times. Also, have you ever seen that show? It's one of those BBC comedies with the woman, the Keeping Up Appearances. The woman on that show is all about appearances, and she is always leaving her guests alone. And her guests are always so nervous in her presence because they might do something wrong, and she's trying to make herself look best. She's focused on herself and never focused on her guest. That's the kind of distraction that Jesus chides Martha for. Not that she's not being a good hostess in the sense of providing, but she's not paying attention to Jesus. In fact, Martha breaks all the rules of hospitality by trying to embarrass her sister in front of the guest, and then asking the guest to intervene in a family affair. And then she goes so far as to accuse Jesus of not caring about her. Lord, don't you care about me? So she's broken all the rules of hospitality. Her distraction and her worry keeps her from being present with Jesus. Her distractions drive a wedge between her sister and herself, and between Jesus and herself. She has missed out on the only one thing is needed for true hospitality. There is no greater hospitality than listening to your guest, attentive listening to your guest. And how much more so when that guest is Jesus? So Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. If we listen to Jesus' words to Martha, not so much as a rebuke, but as an invitation. See if you can hear the invitation in this. Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Jesus is inviting Martha to figure out what that one thing is that she only needs to be concerned about. The one thing that is needed for Martha is to receive the presence of Jesus, to receive the presence of Jesus in her house, to listen to his words, to know that she is valued, not for what she does or for how well she does it, but that she is valued for who she is, a child of God. In the past few weeks, I've had a number of conversations about why church attendance is declining in our culture. And I think a good answer is that people really have a hard time connecting what happens in church with what happens in the rest of the week, or the rest of life. What's heard on Sunday, as nice as it might be, just doesn't inform the rest of the week in our daily life. We live in a culture of hectic schedules and so much to do, we are tempted to measure our worth by how busy we are, by how much we accomplish, by how well we meet the expectations of others. Well, I think this scripture story teaches us a truth that connects to daily life. This is a good scripture for Monday through Friday life, not just for Sunday life. A lot of people identify with Martha. Maybe you do. Being pulled in different directions, feeling worried and distracted by many things, that seems to be a common thread in our life, in this fast-paced world that we are in. And yet Jesus said, can any of you add a single moment to your lifespan by worrying? We know that worry doesn't do us any good, and that much of what we worry about is not so important in the greater scheme of things. And yet, we still can't seem to quell our anxious thoughts and our frantic activity. It's true that much of our busyness and our distractions stem from the noblest intentions. We want to provide for our families, so we have to go to work. We want to give our children every single opportunity that will enrich their lives. We want to serve our neighbors and to be help of others. And of course, we want to serve the Lord. Where would our church community be without our Marthas? When I was working on my sermon, I got to this line, where would we be without our Bettys? I mean, Marthas. Those faithful folks that do so much, who are so busy about so many things, about the tasks of hospitality and service that make this church such a welcoming place. We need and want Marthas. And yet, if all of our activities leave us no time to be still with the Lord and to be still in the Lord's presence, no time to hear God's word, we're likely to end up anxious and troubled and distracted. We're likely to end up with the kind of service that lacks joy and love and ends up being resentful of others who might not seem to be quite as active as you are. Both listening and doing, both hearing God's word and serving others, are vital to the Christian life. Just like inhaling and exhaling are necessary for breathing, it takes both active and contemplative life in the Christian life. Luke's story leaves us hanging. He has a tendency to do that in his writings. Brings us to a certain point and doesn't tell us the rest of the story. Did Martha and Mary make up? Were they able to sit down together and share that meal that Mary had, or that Martha had to prepare all by herself? Did Martha ever sit down and give her undistracted attention to Jesus? We don't know what happened at the rest of that meal, and we don't know what happened to their relationship in the weeks and months that passed from that. Was Martha able to become more focused and pay attention to Jesus? Was Mary able to become more of a help in the kitchen and more of a help in the household? Jesus invites all of us who are worried and distracted by many things to sit down and rest in Jesus' presence. We are invited to hear his words of grace and truth and know that we are loved and valued not by what we do, but by valued for who we are. Who we are, the children of God. We are invited to be renewed in faith and strengthened for service, and to know that there is only one thing necessary, and that is to give attention to our guest. And the good news is that our guest is also our host. With abundant gifts to give to us, and with words of truth that can inform our daily living. And here's the word of truth that can inform your life for the week to come, for the rest of your life. You are loved. You are valued for who you are, the precious children of God. You can rest in that truth. Amen.